as you give out, it comes back to you again. So sometimes you got to look out. John Bunyan wrote, a man there was, and they called him mad, because the more he gave, the more he had. Yeah. The more he gave, the more he had.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out.
Paul said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. The upward look, God is able. The inward look, to make all grace abound towards me. Do you know that there's not a situation that the grace of God does not cover? There's no predicament that man can find himself in that God has not correspondingly made grace to cover it. Every human need, there is a supernatural resource. For every problem, there is an answer. For every hurt, there is a cure. For every weakness, there is a strength. For every confusion, there is guidance. You know, one of the things that is most difficult for me to do as a pastor, and I'm sure that is difficult for many of the members to do when you have to deal with this, when somebody loses a loved one. And sometimes I know people want answers. They want to know, why did this happen at this time? How could God allow this to happen? I don't understand this. And you know, sometimes, you know, there's no answer. And you can't come up with an answer. You can't try to fake an answer. The only thing that you can do is just put it in the hands of the Lord. And you know what? Allow his grace to take over. Because for every hurt, the one thing that you can be sure of, I might not be sure about where my loved one went. I might not be sure about how long I'm going to suffer. I might not be sure about how I'm going to make it. Day by day. I might not be sure about how I'm going to pay these, but you know what? There's one thing that I can be sure about, is that God's grace will abound towards you. That wherever the hurting soul is, that wherever the person who is hurting is, God's grace abounds towards you. The upward look, God is able. The inward look, that his grace abounds towards you. It comes in your direction. And then the outward look, that God's grace comes so that you can abound in every good work. Let me read this comment from the Life Application Commentary, because I like this. The biggest obstacle that people have to overcome in order to give is worry. What if I will not have enough money next year for my retirement? What if some emergency comes up? What if I lose my job? These verses reassure the Corinthians that God is able to generously provide all their need. Look at this. The purpose of God's overwhelming blessing is always to equip his people to have plenty left over to share with others. Man, that's why God blesses you. That's why God gives you over and above. That's why it says the grace of God. God is able to make his grace abound toward us, so that when his grace abounds toward us, the upward look, God is able. The inward look, his grace abounds toward me. The outward look, that I can help somebody else. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, as I move on in the message today, I did a study, and you'll see at the bottom part of your notes that I have in the center there, all grace. That's what Paul said. Paul said, you know, Once again, I'm curious. I want to find out what these things mean. What does it mean when he says all grace? He said he's going to make all grace abound toward me? Then I need to understand what that means. Well, I did a study. That phrase there, all grace, is the Greek word pasan karin. And it means all grace. It means all grace. But then what I did, I went and I looked in the Greek at the different ways that this word charis is used. You ever heard the word charismatic? Charismatic? Okay, that's the first part of that word there, charismatic, the gifts or the blessings. And so I began to look at it. And I saw that it spoke of at least, and I just picked out four types of grace: saving grace, smiling grace, special grace, and substantive grace. Let me just share with you what I'm talking about. Ephesians 2:8. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians about their new life in Christ. As a result of God's grace, he proclaimed, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." It is by, look, "For by grace," guess what that word is? Charis. "By grace are you saved." What did God say? God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Saving grace. That when you got saved, God sent his grace out to you. One older theologian said, it's the hound of heaven. That God sends the hounds out from heaven to hunt you down. What is that? That's the grace of God. You see, Bill Glaze was out in the world doing his own thing, shaking his fist in the face of God, saying, "I don't want to have anything to do with you," turning my back and running from God. But God spilled over his grace from Calvary. And the grace of God began to run after Bill Glaze. And I just kept running. And I tried to run as deep into sin as I could go, but the grace of God just kept coming. I tried to get deeper in sin, but the grace of God just coming. And the more I got into sin, the more grace overcame me. And that's why the Bible said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And the grace of God ran me down, caught me, saved me, cleaned me up, set me on my way. And it's for by grace I am saved. The charis. Oh, I thank God for this salvation. God thought it. Christ brought it. The Holy Spirit taught it. Satan fought it. The rich man sought it. The dying thief caught it. And thank God I got it. Grace, grace, wonderful grace, marvelous grace, greater than all my sin, saving grace. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Even when you're running from him, his grace is able to run you down, man. Saving grace. Smiling grace. Paul is touching on the controversial subject with the saints in Rome. And he's dealing with this whole issue of eating meat that some people thought to be unclean. And so some were younger believers, and they would have got offended if they saw an older believer eating meat that had been offered up and was unclean. And so there was this big controversy going on. And Paul addresses that whole issue of eating meat that were unclean and all this. But then he concludes in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. He says, let me read that for you. Romans 14, it's there in your outline if you want to read along with us, but Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, where he says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Well, what is the word here? The word is kara, joy. So whereas Paul in Ephesians 2:8 talked about saving grace, he talked about charis, saving grace. Now, in Romans 14, he talks about smiling grace. the joy that God is able, despite the circumstances that you go through, no matter what you have to deal with, that nobody can take that joy from your heart. They might take your happiness. They might take your laughter. But oh, if you got the joy of God in your heart, they can't take the joy from you. Oh, I like what I used to hear him say all the time. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. The world can't take it away. This is smiling grace right here. God says that I will make all grace abound towards you. Joy. Why is it that in the midst of difficult circumstances, you can still, in the midst of heartache and pain that might be all around you, why is it that deep down inside, there's a peace in your heart? It's that grace. It's that grace. You know, there's a whole lot of things that I have to worry about personally. But deep down inside, you know, there's one thing I know, that everything is going to be all right. Because I know that God is going to work it out. And I was thinking, I said, and you know, the worst thing, saints, the worst thing that can happen is for me to die. That's the worst thing. But then that's the best thing. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be prostantheo, and to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I've got this deep down abiding joy that Satan can't root out, that the world can't pull out. Oh, the kids sing the song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And look, the second, he says, I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. I'm singing, Mary. Down in my heart. I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. And it's down in my heart to stay. Now, here goes one that is not in the book, but I heard the kids sing. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch! Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. You see, Paul said, I got this joy, this smiling grace, this grace that brings joy down in my spirit. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Saving grace, smiling grace, and I like this right here, special grace. Special, and you know what this is called? It's called favor. Favor. In Luke 2:52, it said that Jesus grew through his childhood, and he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Well, guess what that word favor is in the Greek? Charis. Charis. Jesus grew in charis. He grew in what? He grew in grace. He grew in favor. That when you line up with God's program, when you line up on God's team, man, you experience the favor of God. Joseph, in a prison, put there by Potiphar, forgot all about him, forgot that Joseph was even there in the prison. Dark, damp, stinky prison. The Bible says, but God gave Joseph Pharaoh with the prison keeper. God gave him favor. Or are you trying to push yourself up in front of your boss so that your boss will see you every day and look at you and say, well, look, you doing this and do you doing? Are you trying to get recognized? Maybe you ought to go to your prayer closet somewhere and get the favor of God on your life. And God will bring you to your boss's attention when you think that he's not even thinking about you. Favor. I'm talking about favor today. God says that he will make all grace abound towards you. Is that if you're in a situation where it seems like everybody's against you, if you're in a situation where it seems like the whole world is against you, but you're doing the right thing, be encouraged. Because the favor of God will rest on you. And I tell you what, there's a whole lot of things that I want in life. But the best thing that I can have is God's favor. Because if I've got God's favor, he's going to exalt me in due time. If I've got God's favor, he's going to move me in the right place at the right time. If I've got the favor of God on my life, he's going to bring that special person into my life so that I will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is who God has for me. The favor of God. And God said he will make all grace abound toward you. Saving grace, smiling grace, special grace, like rain that pours and a spirit that soars. Favor from the Lord can open many doors. Some people are astonished, shocked, and amazed. Some people are confused, and others are afraid. But some are believers while others doubt. But with God's favor, you will never go without. The favor of God. Let me finish this morning. Because I know this is the one that y'all want to hear. Y'all want to hear this one that I'm getting ready to say. Saving grace, smiling grace, special grace. And this is what I call substantive grace. And what is that? Something with substance to it. If I need, somebody said you can't grin if your roll is thin. This So we talking about putting some scratch in your pocket, some jack in your wallet, some Benjamins in your pocket. That's what we talking about. That God is, he said he's going to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. It's in your notes if you want to read along, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says here in verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints. So what is he talking about? Show me the money. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about money here. Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Look at verse 3. And when I come, whosoever you shall approve by your letters. So he was looking for somebody to take this offering to Jerusalem. He said, whoever you approve by your letter, he said, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Well, guess what? You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar this morning to understand that word liberality. What Greek word does that come from? Charis. Charis. It comes from the Greek word charis. So what is he saying? He's saying that they will come and they will take the scratch. They will take the money. They will take the liberality. They will take the grace, the offering that you have taken. They will take it to the saints in need in Jerusalem. So what is he saying here? He's saying that grace is money, is a collection. God said that he's able to make all grace abound towards you so that whatever you need. And we read it this morning earlier. Brother Mark read it in Philippians chapter 4, where he said that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you today, and once again, as I started out the message, I started out by saying I didn't come to preach prosperity today, but I believe that for the Christian, that if you have a financial need, that God is able. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. When I was in seminary, we had difficult times. We had some real difficult times. At the time, it was just me, Angie, Nicole, and Daniel. And we had some hard times. I used to hate to have to go buy diapers because that cost about $3 or $4. And that would buy me a meal for a week, some hot dogs and some macaroni and cheese. Every time I went to buy diapers, I just hated it because I said, man, look at all this money that we spend on diapers. I'll be glad when these kids get out of diapers. And so it was difficult time. Didn't have a car, walked everywhere we went. I remember one night standing out on my back porch and I said, God, you know what? I know that you up there. I know that you up there, God, and you got to know what's going on. with me. And just about the time when you think that everything is hopeless and you know God is still on the throne, but you just wonder why I'm struggling, God says, just keep on trusting me. And it was one Christmas that we were getting ready to have one of those empty tree, empty refrigerator Christmases. And we just turned that Christmas over to the Lord. And God began to bless. And I wrote down, I went to my prayer journal from 1983, December 15th, $105 came in the mail. December 17th, presents were given to the family for Christmas. December 19th, a ham was provided for Christmas dinner. December 20th, $25 came for Christmas dinner. December 21st, $20 came in the mail for a Christmas dinner. December 21st, presents came. December 22nd, I was at the airport, and the guy needed $10. I gave him my last $10. Went to Bible study that night. Somebody gave me $10. December 23rd, received a $23 reimbursement check. December 23rd, a brother gave me $5. December 23rd, received a turkey. December 23rd, received a box of groceries. December 23rd, received two bicycles for my kids. December 24th, received the $135 love offering. December 24th, received a ham. December 26th, received a $793 reimbursement check. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That'll be one Christmas I'll never forget. God is able. Man, when you line up with his program and you line up with his plan, he encouraged the Corinthians. He said that if you give, God will allow all grace to be bestowed upon you. And that as the grace of God is bestowed upon you, then you'll be able to share with others. You see, God has a Teflon program. It's not supposed to come and stick in your pan. It's supposed to come on through. And as it goes through, God will keep the resource coming. And you know, there's one thing that I found out as a Christian. I found this out, and I've never been able to get over it. I've never been able to get over it because I grew up in the city, grew up fighting. I grew up with clenched fists walking in. You know how it is when you got an attitude, you know, you just waiting for the first person to say something wrong to you so you can pow. Grew up with a clenched fist. But you know one thing I found out? That there's more power in the open hand than there is in the clenched fist. Because God is able. We open it, God can get it to us. If he can get it through us. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That whatever sufficiency you have, that in all things you will superabound in every good work. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Where's Your Faith? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, when you throw God's boomerang, watch out, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.